5, 4, 3, 2. Welcome back, everybody, to Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Platt Show. And we are here tonight, this morning rather, after last night, discussing Money in the Bank. The WWE Cinematic Universe has been fully displayed before you guys. Chris, good morning. I said this to you guys back at WrestleMania. This is the world we are now a part of because of the pandemic. Good morning to you, Chris.
Well, good morning to you, Mike, and greetings and salutations, everybody out there in internet land. It is an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be back here. We are on the heels of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and quite frankly, we may need to send a search party for Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black, but I'm sure we'll get into that momentarily.
I think they dead, okay? Not just dead, they dead, okay? But listen, guys, first, the particulars, guys. Make sure you check us out anywhere podcasts are sold. You're available, your favorite available podcast network. Just search BDSIR. That stands for the Best Damn Show on Radio Networks. You can get this show and all the other shows that are on the network as well. Make sure you follow us by my namesake. I am loud, I speak loud. And fellas, frankly, I know people think it's getting old, but it's just a fact of the matter. If you're not making her loud, that's not my fault with three X's. But you already know that. You see the name hat where you can follow him at. That's the real CP Platt. Also, this show is sponsored by Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM on Fox Sports Radio 1340AM.com and Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. Also, hashtag the chair shot. Use your head, okay? And Perfect Plex Talk Radio, part of also the Soul in Sports. But Money in the Bank, Chris, was last night. And again, I used the term. I've said it now. It's out there. It's like, for what it's worth, go do your checking. I made up Disney Plus and Thrust, okay? Check the scenario. I called it 8 months before it even came out. Disney Plus and Thrust. I called WWE Cinematic Universe. And I said, when we saw WrestleMania, I said it, and then we saw NXT after that with Gargano and Ciampa, I said, this is where we're going to go because they have nothing to do with a crowd not being there. And I was interested in seeing what the fans, Chris, would think about this because I remember a point in time when other companies did things like this, TNA Impact, people who were TNA fans, oh, that the way they do the backstage stuff is pretty dope. Lucha Underground, oh, if WWE adopted something like that because we already know what it is, not saying what that idiot said it is, okay? And you do something like the WWE Cinematic Universe, we will like it. Mixed feelings, Chris, came out about WrestleMania between the Boneyard match, which most wrestling fans did love, and then the Firefly Funhouse, which I will still stand on my wrestling merit. And if you don't like it, listen anyway, okay? The greatest non-match I've ever seen in wrestling history, the Firefly Funhouse. But then I did see, we did get a chance to witness Ciampa and Gargano. And I remember I said, and I will be honest, I didn't think it worked for them because those guys can actually go in the ring. But we left last week's show, Chris, and going into the Money in the Bank, and we discussed it and broke down what we thought this match would be, meaning the Money in the Bank match itself. And we got news that it would be the guys and the girls going at the same time. And I said, Chris, I'm not sure about this. You said, hey, for once, it piqued my interest. Now I want to see it. Well, we saw it, Chris, and we saw how it unfolded. Your thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, Mr. Knox, I feel like you're bearing the lead here.
Okay, the lead is
being Disney, won. Disney Thrust, no, and Disney, Buster, Disney Plus and Thrust? Thrust.
Yes, yes, that's what I...
So
I,
is that the new Netflix and chill?
What I've always said, and you know I work for a third party of the company, okay, not saying, but I always knew Disney wouldn't adopt it like Netflix and chill. You know what I mean? That's cool. You can't have Disney Plus and Thrust. It's not something that's going to take. But the internet did take to it. It's out there. And I mean, I told people, I said, listen, I don't want everybody to know, I just want people to remember who said it first, and I knew it would take off because I thought it was very catchy, okay? And I put it out there, and yeah, that's what it is. But the WWE Cinematic Universe is what we saw. And as you said, Aleister Black and Ray Ray is dead. They're gone.
Dead. Not AJ Styles kind of dead, but they can come back like zombies into the matches. No, they're dead. They're up out of here.
Hey, Chris, We want the smoke.
R.I.P. to Ray Ray and Aleister Black, and I'll take with me the memories to be my sunshine after the rain.
God, you know how hard it was not to interrupt you there and sing along, but I didn't want to make the show no worse than what it was. Boy, don't get me started singing now. But we did have Money in the Bank last night, and again, first your thoughts on the cinematic universe of the WWE.
Okay, so my experience for this pay-per-view is a little different than probably the average fan. I watched all the preliminary matches last night. We'll get to those momentarily. And then I got up this morning and watched the actual Money in the Bank contest. And I stayed completely off of the internet, off of social media. I went radio silent because I didn't want any of that to seep into my subconscious and, you know, dictate how I felt about what I saw.
Right.
And what I can say, I give it a thumbs up. It's a tepid thumbs up. It's very tepid, but a thumbs up nonetheless. I mean, because for the last, 15 years, we've been harping on WWE, talking about that they got to try some new things. They got to do some different things. They got to do some different shit. So then when they start doing some different shit, oh, I don't like what they're doing. What are they doing? It's like, come on, man. Again, is it Uchi Wally Wally or is it one mic? Like, they're not going to nail. And everything didn't hit.
I like that reference. God damn it. I'm taking one mic, though. And that's what most wrestling fans want to hear is one mic. But don't lie and act like you don't like, ooh, she wally wally, she bang bang. So don't. All right, I got you. I love that reference. Go ahead, Nas.
And, God, some of the things they did hit, God, and some of the things they did didn't hit, God. I mean, WWE, they don't do comedy all that well. So some of the comedy spots, I'm kind of like, I'm not a food fight guy.
They're 80s. There's so much 80s, 70s comedy still taking us back to Animal House, if you will. Yeah. And I'm with you. I don't dig them anymore, but we talked off air. My kids loved it. If that makes any sense at all, and I've always said that it's not for us anymore. You know, we keep looking for it to be for us, and it's really not for us anymore. And they tug of war in that as well, I think. And that's the disconnect with the WWE and the fans, is that no one has staked a claim in what they are. So I got to do the Thanos. Okay, what makes Thanos the greatest movie villain of all time? I said movie. Villain of all time. He comes out the ship. He takes off his shield, his helmet, his sword, and stakes it. She says, "Father, what are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to wait." And he sat down. Okay, no one has done that as a wrestling fan yet, Chris, to stake their claim of, are you with them or are you against them? And I think if you're going to sit there and have one foot in and one foot out, you got to give what they gave us last night credit, Chris.
You do. They tried something different. Some of the stuff hit. Some of it didn't hit. I'm personally not a food fight guy. I hate food fights. Even as a child, I don't want mashed potatoes in my hair. That's disgusting.
No,
I've just never been a fan. But there were some hits. Some things hit. Shout out to Uncle Bruce Pritchard, aka Brother Love. That cameo was pretty cool. conversely, the Johnny Ace cameo didn't work. But Dana Brooke, being the Cleveland's own Dana Brooke, being the butt of the jokes last night when she was walking around with the picture on her head and she slipped on the mop floor and stuff like that.
I mean, it is Cleveland.
That was cool. I dug it.
It is Cleveland.
Yeah, I didn't need that last comment. No matter how right you may be.
Listen, Rey Mysterio getting smashed by Nia Jax and Otis was hilarious. Okay? And listen, I don't like food fights either. Okay? I don't. Because they do them all the damn time, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's not get it twisted, guys. AEW will have a food fight because food fights can still be funny for what it's worth for that person who thinks it's funny. And so a lot of people did thought it was funny. But when Otis caught that sandwich, listen, the MVPs of last night's show was not MVP himself. Shout out to the Killer Marga outfit. Wakanda forever! My daughter peeping it from the beginning. I love my daughter, her black love self. You go, baby girl. But to sit there and see R-Truth and Otis were the true MVPs of last night. And to take the words of Nietzsche's, not mine, a.k.a. Bully Ray, Nietzsche, who put on Twitter, it's WWE. The E stands for entertainment. That was
I'm saying no.
thought it was funny. I'm not saying I liked it. I haven't spoke that yet. You have. I'm going to hold that. But, you know.
Get your Young Thug, fake Offset, future looking ass out of here. That's a bar. We got to give that man his flowers. That's a bar. Shout out to MVP.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Listen, I love MVP. I love him. But come on. Onus and R-Truth always. I didn't think. We all know R-Truth's funny. I did not think seeing Onus to me was never funny for me. Like, I got it. I understood it. But it never really popped for me with Onus. Last night, it popped for me. Now, I can't stand the fact that he, you know, won the Money in the Bank. Okay? I think that's a horrible decision, which leads me to believe he's not going to win the title. So, we already know that was a wasted Money in the Bank in hell. We're in a pandemic. Hashtag stay home, stay safe. Some people are still opening up, you know, and I hope everything comes right. But right now, this is what we're getting while we're getting what we're getting. Chris, is WWE Cinematic Universe. Take it from the top, Chris, starting with Money in the Bank last night. Let's get into these matches. Let's get into what actually took place last night. What led us off last night, Money in the Bank, sir?
Well, we started off on the pre-show with Cesaro versus Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy obviously got the win, and they're building something for Jeff. I don't know where this crescendos. Obviously, he's about to get into a program with Sheamus. I'm interested by this Jeff Hardy thing. We talked about it last week on these very airwaves. You asked if Jeff Hardy was still relevant and if people care. If they tell the story properly, people will care.
They already fucked that up. They put him on the pre-show. How you gonna have 4 weeks of building Jeff Hardy in a pandemic to get nostalgic fans back? Then I posed the question, being that WWE guy, said, we don't care because we can't trust Jeff. So then you say, we trust him. Here we go again. And you pre-show his ass. And don't get me wrong here. I've always told people pre-shows are not always bad, especially going into a show. I believe that. Okay? Not making the show, period, is the worst. But a pre-show in a pandemic is pretty damn bad.
Well, number one, we had 3 title matches last night, as well as 2 Money in the Bank matches last night. So the crowd was a little stacked. It was a little full.
They happened at the same time and they were pre-recorded. No.
But they were still 2 different matches. There's a men's match and a woman's match.
I got that.
There's 2 matches.
I got that. I understand.
So in essence, it was 5 title matches last night. Okay. And it's a slow burn. Yes. Let this bitch breathe. Let this bitch breathe.
Then don't have them on the card at all. Or have him on the card and at least have Sheamus interfere or stand there and do something. What was supposed to make me, I'm being honest, it started at 7 o'clock. We talked about it being a bad sale from the beginning, it being Mother's Day. Shout out to all the mothers out there. My mother, may you rest in peace. My wife, my other mother, may you all my everybody out there have a safe and I hope you had a great Mother's Day. Okay, but you have this on Mother's Day. You have it going against The Last Dance. To then try to set up The Last Ride, which my daughter found offense to, by the way, which I told her, hey, baby girl, it's just coincidence. Yeah, I really do believe that. But at this point, maybe not to put it on, but the names are coincidental, okay? And you have this. That was bad booking. And I don't like to say that with the WWE. I know a lot of fans do, and I get on Spotface. Shout out to Spotface at Spotface on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you find your social media. You know, I don't like to say that's his favorite word. Oh, they booked this wrong. They booked that wrong. Nah, I don't. Let it be what I'm gonna always let it be what it be kind of guy, and that's not how you let Jeff Hardy come back and let it be on a pandemic pre-show, Chris.
Okay, so number one, going up against The Last Dance, do you think Vince even knows that The Last Dance is a thing? Because I don't.
He's not that. He's not that dense on society, although he's that dense on his product. Okay.
Number two, with the Jeff Hardy thing, you're a gamer, Mike. I'm sure you've played a wrestling game or two in your time. And it doesn't matter if you start with Stone Cold. It doesn't matter if you start your game with The Rock. It don't matter if you start with Jesus Christ himself. What do you do during the video games? It's a slow burn. You're going to start out as a curtain jerker and work your way up to the main event. And that's what's happening.
Okay. You just said that Jeff Hardy's a curtain joker.
No, no.
Yes, you did.
I'm saying
yes, you did.
This is the story.
The story is... Okay, you didn't call him that, but you're saying the story they're building is that he's a curtain jerker to have to come back. Wow. That's still brilliant booking, WWE.
He's a legend that has to work it, that's starting at the bottom, has to work his way back up to the top. It's a redemption story.
I got you. So we're at the Money in the Bank that happens at the top, right? So the pre-show, and then maybe by next year's Money in the Bank, he'll be back on top of the roof doing something crazy. I got you.
Well, they started in the basement for the Money in the Bank as well. So your analogy is flawed, sir. But that's neither here nor there. Go ahead. Don't let a funny thing like the truth get in the way of a good story and narrative.
You knew how to read between the lines like these boy cow fingers I got up right now, and you can read some Stone Cold Steve Austin action in there. Yes. How about that? All right. What else happened after the pre-show and Jeff Hardy won that thing? By the way.
First of all, I love you, but you're not my type. But okay. I'm flattered. I really am. So moving on. So we had not the Fatal 4-Way, but just a 4-Way tag team title match with The New Day, Lucha House Party, The Forgotten Sons of Anarchy, and Miz and Morrison, with The New Day retaining their belts. Now, Mike, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't have high hopes for this match going into it, but it was entertaining for what it is. And can we finally please give New Day their flowers? Yes, the gimmick has ran its course. Yes, it gets a little kooky and a little coony, you know, vice versa. But from bell to bell, they're as good as any tag team in the world right now. And I don't feel like they get the props they deserve, because they consistently and constantly put out banger after banger after banger. And if you listen to some of these other Pigment Challenged wrestling podcast, and maybe even some of the old school wrestling guys that have podcasts, anytime it comes up with a New Day match, they always give props to the other team. But who's the common denominator in this? Not saying other teams aren't great, not saying there's not a lot of great wrestling workers in there, but please, can we give New Day their props? From bell to bell, they consistently put on bangers, regardless of what you think about anything else. And I think they deserve their props.
I will second that with the Black Fist. So that on point with that, 100% with that. But I say this though, the part about the night, as I get to my belt great later, is the matches were good. And that was surprisingly. And, you know, if you're watching, you're getting past the crowd not being there, and you're watching what you're seeing in the ring, and you're watching New Day and others like Miz and them, who have the charisma enough to be like, hey, the crowd's not here, or get away with saying it. How about that? All right. Now, I think they all would, you know, would say it, but, you know, to get away with saying, hey, no one's here but us. And for those here in the building, all that kind of good stuff, they're doing a very good job. It's a New Day. And I'm with you on that one. From bell to bell, even the sons, the Forgotten Sons of Anarchy, okay, I can do without them still, sorry. But the match was pretty good. Metalik, I'm liking his work even more inside the ring as well there, Chris.
Yo, those brothers can go. Those Lucha House Party brothers, all three of them. I know Kalisto wasn't there, but they can go. Yeah, it just sucks that they're saddled with that BS gimmick, because they could really go.
Hey, listen, the picture on the screen right now, when they won the titles, and Big E's strapped against the rope. Yo, Big E's insane, okay? And he gets away with it, and he doesn't give a damn, and they let him. He doesn't care what y'all say about him. He's having fun. He's getting paid to have a job he likes to do, regardless of what we don't know behind closed doors. But what they're showing us is, hey, look, I like my job, and I'm doing my job to what I got. And I think Big E has always done a good job with that. What was that next for us?
By the way, shout out to the Earl Thomas reference, which we're not going to get into it, but if you know, you know. So
I'm glad I didn't take my drink right there. I'm so glad I didn't take my drink right there. Oh.
Anywho, so moving on the card, I believe the next match was actually scheduled to be R-Truth versus MVP.
Yeah.
MVP comes out, cuts that fire-ass promo that we referenced earlier,
yes.
And we bring out Big Bobby Lashley, and I guess it was basically a squash match.
So that's where the switch of the match I thought should have been. Put that on the pre-show, pandemic, and put Jeff Hardy in that spot. It's what I felt.
I can't argue with that, but, you know, that ain't what they did.
That's not what they did. Okay. So what they gave us, it was good. I mean, black-on-black-on-black crime. So, I mean, hey. I mean, Have y'all not read LeBron James' tweets lately about what's going on in this country with joggers? I'm just saying. We don't even see black on black crime anymore, Vince. Let it go!
I could go somewhere with that, but I'm not going to go there. Because this is a wrestling show. I'm just saying it's always been a myth. There is no black on black proximity. Okay. You commit crimes against people you're next to. Who you think killing the Chinese in China? But that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
I'm going to move on.
All right.
We're moving on.
I just don't want to see those guys fight each other. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
I feel you. Because if it was real, why wouldn't they click up?
I don't
and
know.
Just run exactly. over everything.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't they?
Wakanda forever!
I do like the idea of MVP hooking up and being the mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley, because this is when he started to make the turn into TNA, which to this day, that's some of his best
that's
work.
That's what y'all all BBK. Say, and I'm waiting to see it. I'm waiting to see it. I still wish Lio Rush could have been a part of it somehow. I'm just saying.
That's fair.
I'm just saying.
That's fair.
Like, I love MVP. I have nothing ever negative to say against MVP, and he'll whoop half their asses in real life Okay? So, Lio Rush, though, get him over. I thought, no one poses like you, Bobby. Flash form, Bobby. Show him the muscles, Bobby. No one like you, Bobby. I'm sorry. It was golden on the microphone. Money in the Bank. What else have we got?
All right. So moving on from there, we had Big Booty Bailey.
Ooh, hey! We want some Bailey. Sorry.
Versus Mrs. Snuka, aka Tamina, and Bailey with a slight assist from Sasha Banks. It wasn't as overt as I thought it was gonna be, but I pretty much called how it went down. That's what I told you how it was gonna go down last week.
Listen, the way that you talk about your girl, Sasha Banks, it's disrespectful.
Don't get me in trouble, Mike. Don't get me in trouble.
It's disrespectful.
Mike. Don't get me in trouble.
Disrespectful. Because I was talking about the greatest woman's wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair. I would introduce her and say, who was not there, by the way. Why is there a pay-per-view without the greatest women's wrestler of all time? Charlotte Flair not being a part of it. But if I was talking about her, I just wouldn't say an assist from Sasha Banks. Did you see how? Remember, Little Kim had a video. Remember? In the make-believe fast car? I think it was, how many licks does it take to get to the Senate of the, with Drew Hill, with Cisco?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's what Sasha Banks was wearing last night. And you have to remind yourself when you watch her that she's a married woman. Just saying. Go ahead.
Mr. Knox, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Everybody named Mama knows how I feel about the boss, but that's a point of contention in my household. Since my better half does listen to every piece of content that I put out over these airwaves, I gotta tread lightly.
I am 22 years invested, so I still tread lightly, but some things you gotta just be honest to the people. But hey,
I'm not trying to get in the doghouse.
So please, Amber.
No.
Amber, don't be mad at me. Okay?
Please continue, by the way. I won't interrupt you.
No, I will say that. I'm not dumb, okay? I'm not stupid here. But even that match with Tamina and Bailey, what I didn't get from that is, where did all of a sudden this fan love come for Tamina? Because frankly, of all the matches that took place last night, yes, the wrestling in the ring was good. I didn't like the story in the ring. Okay? Tamina and Bailey and them can go. I didn't like their story in the ring with Bailey and Tamina. Like, I feel like that match to me, in all intent purposes, is a waste of time. And people are saying, oh, Tamina should have a title run. Where's Tamina's title run? This is her time to have her title run. And I'm like, how was any of that possible for Tamina to have her title run right now? Because what has she done to be in, you know, position for a title run right now? So I didn't understand that much. watching it, because when I saw it, I just knew this was all along a Smosh match. And so when I got at the end of it with the story, I said, okay, WB, with this pandemic going on, us you still not knowing what's going on, setting up the WB Cinematic Universe in case you continue to have to go on, why not have this go where they don't touch each other right now, talking about Bayley and Sasha Banks, Chris?
Well, that's the thing, man. Tamina is an ancillary character in the actual story that they're telling, which is the deterioration of the relationship between Big Booty Bayley and Sasha Banks. That's the story they're telling. Now, Tamina was just kind of thrown in there, and it might be a situation where she was available, you know, because we don't know. We've heard stories that certain people don't want to come back.
Yeah, right.
And she was there and she was available. So they threw her in there and, you know, they did what they had to do. But yeah, she's I'm gonna use a cinematic term. She's the MacGuffin. Because the actual story is Bayley and Sasha. So she was a prop to get us to the next phase of this storyline.
Blind tag, since you brought that up and speaking about her and speaking about family members, that she's a family member of, and people saying they're forgetting about them. I love how WWE put a stop to the rumors of the bullshit that is that they are separating themselves from Roman Reigns. They stayed on that picture for a while. And the WWE has always been smart in one thing. This would be a very bad PR story. And they've taken enough bad PR hits. Roman will be fine when Roman's ready to come back and everything's safe in America. Go ahead. Just wanted to get that in there. When they showed that during the Money in the Bank, I to me, that was a what we call an Easter egg. Speaking about cinematic universes and things like that. You know, another.
Internet people.
Shows you how this is the show for the intelligent wrestling fan. You should know all things, not some things, through hashtag the wrestling is storyline through me. Go ahead.
Y'all need to learn how to play chess or Parcheesi or Pinochle, do some push-ups, do something, because y'all are literally creating stories that are not there. I actually had this conversation with PC Tunney on Potter's War right before WrestleMania, by the way.
And where's
Chair Radio Network?
Yeah.
That's on Chair Radio Network. Use your head, and we're all podcasters. So, and we kind of went back and forth because I said that they need to, you know, because he was making the argument that Roman Reigns doesn't need to be front and center for WrestleMania because he's not there, and you're just reminding the people that he's not there. I took the other route, said that you got to remind people because he's still the big dog. He's still your top guy, so you got to let people know he's there. Obviously, they went with PC Tunney's philosophy. Let's not remind them people that he's not there, out of sight, out of mind. He's not in the doghouse. Who in their right mind, even Vince McMahon's Mr. Monopoly maniacal ass, can understand why he's not there, all things being considered? And no, he's not in the doghouse. They're not going to bury him, quote unquote, when he gets back. None of that. It's all good. And because you melon farmers didn't have anything else to do with your time, you created a story that wasn't there and made WWE have to do some PR and some damage control to let y'all know, hey, it's all good. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good, right? It's all good, right?
We got you.
So, next up on the card, you anything else with Big Booty Bayley and Tamina?
Hey, we want some Bayley, okay? But you got your name, I got mine. Next match, I believe, was the WWE Universal Championship.
Yes, it was, which was Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt, not the Fiend. But
everybody
Bray
knew
Wyatt.
That, though. I just have one question about Bray Wyatt wrestling. How the hell can he wrestle in those tight ass jeans? I'm sorry, I hate when Bray Wyatt has to wrestle. I hate it because I'm like, no, seriously. And it's not okay. I'm over the fact that I'm an old head. I'm a '90s kid, you know, '90s adult. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wear skinny jeans, you wear skinny jeans, whatever. But when you have that kind of shape, you don't wear skinny pants. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you know, Ambrose / Moxley did it. HBK did it whenever it was a street fight. You
that's
remember, he
fine,
throwing
but they didn't have the
jeans,
body
you know?
Shape of Humpty Dumpty. I'm not
like
saying Bray's not in shape because you got to be in shape to be a professional wrestler. Believe that, Melvin. Believe me. Okay? But no. No, he has the shape of Humpty Dumpty.
I would go Johnny Bravo. Big torso, skinny legs.
Tomato, tomato. Either way. But
let me say this, though, Mike, because, you know, people, the Fiend or hashtag or / Bray Wyatt's matches have been getting a lot of flack from people. this dude is operating on such another level than everybody else. I don't throw the genius word around lightly. Mm-hmm. This man is literally a genius right now. Yeah. The character development and everything that he's doing with this character, it's Kaufman-esque.
Well, they're saying that Heyman's back there helping with that gimmick. And I think there's always something that someone's going to say to, you know, the Heyman lovers out there. Not saying I don't love Paul Heyman. Let's stop that, you know, that narrative right now. But, you know, that always ghost over things, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the NBA suspended Michael Jordan for gambling, kind of ghost, stuff like that. Last Riot. I mean, Last Dance, you can check it out. Check it out. Cheap Pop. But, you know, like that kind of thing. But, yeah, everything that he's doing, I agree with you. I think it's genius.
Yeah, he really is. He's just operating on another level. And only the old heads are going to get this reference. But it's very Kaufman-esque. You know what I mean? Like, he's deconstructing the concept of the professional wrestler and doing it in a way. And one reason I say is genius because I don't always necessarily understand what the hell he's doing or what he's trying to say or where he's going with it, but he does.
Yeah.
And you know that he does because I feel like everything that he does is meticulous and planned out. And from all accounts, he is back there. And
he makes you believe in what you're saying. So, In that gimmick, you know, to me, that's the anti-Sammy Guevara for me. I know you say that was supposed to do how I feel about Sammy Guevara, so maybe it is working. But, you know, and for me, my thing with Sammy Guevara is that I don't believe what I'm getting at. You know what I mean? He's, you know, and what I get with Bray Wyatt, although I know it's the WWE Cinematic Universe, I get that. It feels different, that believability from there right there. And I think his match is always going to be the same. Bray Wyatt, to me, can always go in the ring from when he was Husky Harris to every rendition of Bray Wyatt I have been a fan of. I'm just being honest with you. I think ever since I saw him, I knew he was Mike Rotunda's son. I liked all those third generation guys that had came up. I don't know why all of them didn't work out. Okay. And being a man of my man's son, DiBiase Jr. But what Bray Wyatt gimmick is, it's great. You're not going to get the Fiend. The Fiend is special. The Fiend is once he's dug you in deep enough, dug into you psychologically deep enough, then the Fiend comes out to finish the job. You can beat Bray. You can do whatever you want to do with Bray. Bray is fine. Bray is the mental disciple to the demon. Okay, and he wants you to let him in by beating him. He might lose matches on purpose, Chris, because it brings out the Fiend.
He might. And obviously, I think the biggest takeaway is we're not done with this program by a long shot. I still think by hook or by crook, eventually the Fiend is going to get his hands back on that Universal title. But why not drag it out? What else you got going on?
Why not? Your thoughts on that match, though? I mean, you saw what we're seeing right now on the screen. He puts the mask on. All the things in this match. Your thoughts on the match? Because for what it was, it was a pretty decent match.
It was a decent match. I mean, was it
a different finishing move? We finally got a different finishing move for those who hate Braun Strowman's pump up power slam. You know, I shout out to Wale Urban Sports Scene on the Twitter, who biggest thing he couldn't stand is Bray Wyatt's finishing move. He brought in a choke slam. Does that make you feel differently about Braun Strowman? I'm sorry.
No, not at all, man. I was never not a Braun guy. I like Braun, and I like what they've done with him. I mean, he's had some stops, like stop and start t-shirt. Pushes. What, to get these hands?
No, the Braun Express.
Oh, yeah, that's whack. But, I mean, it's WWE. You got to put up with some of that. It's wrestling, you know.
This is not an all-black wrestling t-shirt, which 98.99% of their shirts are. So, like, damn, I live in Florida, Vince. You know what I'm saying? Wearing black shirts is, like, bad for my skin. After that, we got the what's before is now the WWE Championship and McIntyre and Rollins. And again, what's on the screen now, so I'm going to talk about it ahead of you there, if you don't mind, if you will, is the handshake after this match. Match was won by Drew McIntyre. By the way, I'm not a side plate guy. Hashtag Belt Kings Radio tomorrow, Champion Presents Episode 2, Wing Eagle. Let's talk about that. That'll be on all you guys' podcasts soon. But not being a side plate guy, I noticed his side plates this time. And McIntyre, maybe my name is Mike. You know what I'm saying? The upside down M. Kind of got kind of like the Miz sign for the same kind of reason. It stood out to me. Just want to point that out there. But the match was good. The match was actually really good. Okay? We got the things. Best things of the night. Okay? I put it on my Twitter page. White Jesus interest music. Okay?
I mean, I'm here for it.
My kids were very mad. They love to scream, burn it down. down. That's their. Oh, they were like, you could have saw their faces. Okay, they did not like that. I gotta start recording my kids' faces on wrestling. Maybe we can get us some cheap publicity like some of these other guys were just known because they made faces and the camera happened to catch them. I'm just saying. Okay, but you go out there and I think they performed very well. Okay, and when this match was one of them. I felt this match. I love this match. This was match of the night for me. But then it made me think even more as a wrestling fan because what the hell? What the hell? Damn! What's the handshake about?
Well, number one, it was Big Drew versus Little Drew. I just have to throw that out there. I mean, that's stringy hair, Jesus, okay. Chest hair.
Yeah, I got you. That's exactly what it looked like. Twins, Dan DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, okay, I got you. You look identical like a mole. They do.
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed this match too. I thought it was the match of the night. And the handshake kind of got my head, had me scratch my head a little bit as well. They tried to sell it on commentary, talking about how, you know, that was Drew proving the type of champion he is. But yeah. Again, maybe that's all it was. Maybe yeah, it was a draw to get us to
two. But why shake his hand back, though? That's the part. I get Drew McIntyre's part and shaking the hand and extending the hand. But why for Seth to reciprocate the handshake is what I'm confused by. That's the storyline that I like to see. That's the hashtag wrestling is storyline. Just wanted to get it out there. I'm sorry. I know it's corny.
No, fair. All good. This is another one. This is another one, kind of like Bray and Braun. I don't think we've seen the last of this matchup. I expect these two guys to be beefing through the SummerSlam.
Of course. Yeah. They have to the two top guys in the company, and that's there, too, for that matter.
That's there. Yeah, that's there. That's a big thing. You know? That's there.
And I hate
that's
this.
The biggest thing. They're there.
I hate this for McIntyre. I hate this for all the champions. I hate this for Money in the Bank that the crowd's not there. I do. It's a tough pill to swallow, but it's a pill I've already took. And I've accepted, you know what I'm saying? I'm already woozy from it, okay? And getting that, I don't think no title change should happen in the pandemic right now. I don't think no champion could take it. I don't. It'd be bad for Braun. It'd be bad for McIntyre. Bailey can take it because it's Bailey. These girls overcome it all. They're the octagon of women's wrestling. Whoever they get it, it's fine because the next girl steps up. But in disguise, you don't know.
So hot tag real quick, man. Let me ask you a question because you did bring up the elephant in the room, the pandemic, and the reason why there is no crowd there. Hypothetically speaking, let's say everybody got on television tomorrow and said, okay, guys, everything's over. It's all good. We're going back to work. Everything's starting back up again. How long is it going to take you to be comfortable to actually go to a live, not just wrestling, just a live sporting event in general, but we'll condense it to wrestling because we're talking about wrestling right now. How long is it going to take you to feel comfortable to go back in front of a live studio audience and watch wrestling, considering that wrestling fans aren't always known as the best when it comes to hygiene? Yeah.
Good question. And honestly, I don't know. I'm the guy who's been afraid of this since the beginning. I'm the guy who, for the first time yesterday, took my son out the house to the store, not just outside around the house playing, but like to somewhere. And I was legitimately pissed and angry that I didn't bring the mask, but I made him keep his mouth shut and his hands in his pocket. Okay. I'm that guy. So from the beginning, this has bothered me. So I need to see it back. And I'm afraid if my job calls me tomorrow to come to work, I have to go to work. But I don't want to go to work because I don't think that it's safe right now. So to answer the question, I think we should be in the house another 3 months, but it's not going to happen. And I'm thinking I need to see 3-4 months go by where the numbers are continuing to decline as they have been, you know, think they got this under control. Okay, so that's why things are opening up. But for me, it would have to be this is May, September. SummerSlam's not good enough for me to go back. That's just me. But I know wrestling fans, I know we got one side that's fighting because it's my right to go outside versus, hey, please stop killing us. So, I mean, they're going to go regardless. You know what I mean? So, for me, I love my fan. I realize coming from the south side of Chicago to being raised outside in the suburbs of Derby back to the south side of Chicago to becoming an adult, all the things I went through that were traumatic to me growing up, I will never let my children experience. and I'm overprotective. I'm like, where's the helmet? Where's the knee pad? I'll be having to have people telling me, yo, what, you a kid? I'm like, yeah, I was. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm that guy. You know what I'm saying? Then be like, you better not be no punk. You know what I'm saying? Be like, well, where's your helmet? So for me, it's going to be at least September before I'm comfortable with going to a wrestling event or any sporting event, and we're talking wrestling, with 16,000 people in the audience. That's just me.
You're doing better than me, man, because I don't, honestly, I don't have an answer for that. Just case in point, man, one of my oldest friends in the world is getting married next year, next June.
Yeah.
So how it was supposed to go is, you know, we're going to fly back to Cleveland for the wedding, and then we were all going to fly down to Miami and board a cruise ship for the next 8 days. Well, I mean, you know, cruise ships are floating Petri dishes. I don't feel comfortable getting on a cruise ship, and I don't see myself feeling comfortable getting on a cruise ship even a year from now.
I don't see getting on a cruise ship, but that's not the answer to the question. The answer to the question is, do you feel like going to the arena? I think they're two different big spectrums.
There. No.
Okay. Because I'm definitely not going on a cruise somewhere, but a stadium, a little more confined, a little different. I can get off of it, and I can you know, fix myself. A cruise, you're stuck. You are definitely in quarantine season there. But this match took it to a next level, so it has to continue somewhere down the line. SummerSlam, I'm with you. How long will the WWE Cinematic Universe go on, Chris? And that's the question to everything right now that leads us into what we got. Another production of the WWE Cinematic Universe and Money in the Bank edition. And on this edition, I have to be honest, and I've waited this entire time, 40 minutes, not saying how I felt about the Money in the Bank. Still sitting here, still watching it last night, still discussing it with people, watching the reactions of people. I have never felt 50-50 on anything in wrestling. I've always either liked or did not like. And I'm literally sitting here telling you right here this morning, around the blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Pratt show. That's with three X's.
That's also with an L, not an R, but whatever.
Okay, I'll get to that in a second. But I've never, ever not known where I stood or been in the middle and been indifferent for and against. And I'm literally sitting here telling you honestly, yeah, it was not wrestling. And I had a little bit of a problem with it. I really did. But then I got what I got. And I had to admit what I got from what I knew I was going to get. Again, thechairshot.com, hashtag use your head. Hashtag wrestling is storyline. Hashtag the show for the intelligent wrestling fan. You knew you were going to get this, so you cannot bitch about it. So if you were going to sit down and watch it, which I did, knowing what it was going to be, for what they deliver on better than anybody, it was pretty funny and entertaining. Did I like it? I can't say that I honestly did. But I can't say that I didn't. And I know that's a bit confusing. I know I stake my name on always keeping it real and cutting it down the line. But if I don't think, if I can't say right now, yeah, I would take it. It was, you know what? I will. I will bust that cherry, if you will. Because that's what I do stand for. I liked it then. If 51-49%, I liked it. If I had to choose nay or yay, I would yay it because it was everything that I expected it to be. My only nay in it is I didn't like the winner from the male's part, it being Otis. Is Otis money? I don't know. I know Carmella's money. I know Asuka's money. I know Nia Jax's money. I'd have felt great and was ready to get the tweet ready to say hashtag, what is it? What was it? King Money in the Bank. I was ready for it. Okay, because I'm a Corbin guy. Otis winning tells me he's not winning, you know, he's not successfully cashing in that title. On who? On Bray Wyatt and the No way! Okay? Who's supposed to be coming back? On Roman? No way! Does Bray help Otis beat Braun Strowman? Oh, hell no. If that happens, damn, Braun, you really pissed somebody off in the back. But it'd be a way to get it off of him. It's just too many what ifs with Otis winning. So tells me to lead me to be the intelligent of my intelligence anyway and see it to each their own. Otis ain't cashing that in. But for what it was worth, the going through the hallways we talked about earlier, the stuff with AJ Styles and The Undertaker, I love that it's haunting him. Because that what it used to be. If Taker did that to you, it's supposed, and they got away from that. Again, the things that we say they can't do well, you ask for change, they do this kind of shit well, for what it's worth, Chris. They really do. They do this kind of shit well. They may miss in the ring and the final story and the winner of the matches. But when they do stuff where they got time to film it, and again, I said, I don't think it really did well for Ciampa and Gargano. I didn't need it for that. They could have had their match like everybody's had the empty arena matches. But I did enjoy it. I just didn't think it should have been for them. They have hit it out the park every time in the WWE Cinematic Universe, Chris. Again, it's not wrestling. So if that wrestling fan wanted to debate, man, I'm crazy for even saying that I like it, I understand. I won't even fight you on it. I will not even, I just give you a like on your post. Yep. Because, hey, but what they gave me, what I expected to come, looking at my shirt, you know, this is the kind of stuff I like, okay? The greatest cartoon villain of all time is Darkseid, okay? I like that kind of stuff. I watch G.I. Joe and Transformers. I like professional wrestling. I like sports just as much as anything else. It's the next guy, football fan to the core, basketball, college basketball fan to the core. But when I'm watching professional wrestling, and I know this is not the bunkhouse stampede and your war games kind of things we grew up with, but that has been 35 years removed. And every part of wrestling, including Brandy getting bit by the snake, is a throwback to a storyline. What they gave us, Chris, was it hit. And I would have to give all of it from the Undertaker stuff with AJ Styles, the food fights, okay, the shaking, the it was the yes champ from Otis when Daniel Bryan was kicking King Corbin in the chest was hilarious. Busting in McMahon's office was hilarious. How they fixed the tables, the chairs together, and he wiped his hands off. That's good shit. Chris, I guess that's good shit.
I've been saying it since I've been podcasting about this weird, wonderful, wacky, wild world of wrestling. And I will die on this hill. This is my hill. The best way to enjoy wrestling in this new era is to temper your expectations.
It's the only way.
Yeah. Now, going into this thing, obviously, they got high marks coming off of WrestleMania. Obviously, the Boneyard match. Firefly Funhouse was a little more polarizing, but I feel we've talked about this off air. We both enjoyed it. Thought that was one of the dopest things we had ever seen in any medium of entertainment, period. Gargano Ciampa, yeah. But this, like I said at the beginning of the show, some of the things hit, some of them didn't hit.
Dead, overall, though. I know Ray dead.
Ray dead. That doesn't hit for me because I love Ray. That doesn't hit for me. Maybe he'll come back as Dominic reincarnated.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying, but overall, I got to get this match as well as the show a tepid thumbs up. You said 51 to 49. I'll go a little higher. I'll go 52 and a half. But yeah, overall, it was what it was. I enjoyed what I saw. I was entertained. Some of the stuff I'm like, eh. Number one, let me say this for a fact. AJ Styles, listing him at 5'11", I actually ran into AJ at an airport. Okay, I'm 6'2". I ran into AJ. He was picking up his bag. I was picking up my lady. You know, we just head nodded because he clearly didn't feel like being bothered, and I wasn't about to stand nobody at the airport.
That's how you do
so
it.
We just head nodded. Yeah, we head nodded and he nodded back.
Yeah.
Dude, 5'9 at tops, and that might be pushing it.
Lacey Evans, 5'8", so.
Yeah. So, yeah, he ain't 5'11", nothing. No, he ain't scraping by 6 foot. No. No, I'll tell you like this, man. If he gets in 6 foot water, he's going to be in flat footed. He's going to be at the ground. He might drown. I'm going to tell you that. He might drown. He don't want none of that 6 foot water. He don't want none.
You don't want none.
No, you good. You good. But I'm with you, man. I didn't like Otis winning the match. All that tells me is, he's not going to cash it in. Because out of all the men's possibilities they had, I feel like this was the least intriguing.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think Daniel was going to win it because he's trying to wind it down now. Yeah. So they're not going to put the big gold belt on him. AJ would have been coming in at the last minute. Of course, King Corbin, that would have been great.
Blind tag. This was only because of the pandemic. You're back.
Oh, you're talking about the I agree. Yeah, because the pandemic. I agree.
You couldn't put this on Aleister at this point. It does nothing. You know, we talked about how it took away from McIntyre. At Mania, right? You gonna do it again?
Yeah.
So I think they learned from that a little bit.
So we get to go 2 or 3 months with Otis dry humping the Money in the Bank briefcase, and maybe it'll be entertaining, maybe it won't. I don't know.
It was but last year with Brock and that boombox.
Boombox Brock.
I'm sorry. At first I hated it. I was like, what is this idiot doing? Oh, Brock's crazy, yo. Like,
so let me ask you a question here, man, because I agree with Asuka winning. I had Shayna winning. You had, Big Fine Nia Jax winning. Can't argue with Asuka, especially the work she's been putting in. But let me ask you something, though, man. This whole Asuka thing and everything that she's been doing lately, and everybody's going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over it, I don't get it. Okay, first of all, she comes out looking like she just blew Bruce Banner in the back, okay?
Everything Asuka doing is great. Every single thing. It's a throwback to all the like 80s wrestlers who came over. The only thing they haven't done, which I wish they did, and I would be unoffended by, they might be, is to put the subtitles. But don't need to put the subtitles because nobody knows what she's saying. Okay? It's brilliant. And she goes off in the ring and does her thing. And at times, you do understand what she's saying. Man, when she's blabbling, absolutely not. But when she's about to make a move after blabbling, she told you what she was doing. And I love it. I've always loved everything about Asuka since she came over. I didn't know much about her beforehand. I won't lie. Not that guy. And I didn't like what they did to her. Mm-hmm. I think something happened with the Shayna Baszler thing. Because I thought Shayna, maybe because of the, you mentioned that, going back to Becky since tonight on Raw, that's what's going to happen. She's going to face Becky. Right? Because that's, you know, or Becky makes an appearance or something like that. Becky's there tonight. All the guns are out tonight for Raw. Right, we got Orton and Edge back. We got all the guns right tonight for Raw. So, Asuka loves this. I love this. This gives you intrigue. What will happen with this? I love it. I love everything about Asuka. I'll see what you do. Watch it, love it, enjoy it.
What am I missing? Like when she comes out blabbing incoherently in my head, the only thing
she's drunken. She's a drunken master, baby.
The only way this could be any more racist is if she came out and went, ooh, Godzilla, 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 Godzilla. Like, what am I missing?
That's what you're missing. The things you can look into. How I go back to the Sammy Cavaro statement, because I said, hey, he makes me out, whoop his ass. You said, that's what he's supposed to do. Right? You not understanding it is what it's supposed to do. It's like people didn't understand the Fire Funhouse. It's not for, you got to see what it is. It's why the New Day can still do the coon and foon, and it's still okay.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
So in other words, it's just wrestling.
It's just wrestling.
I'm overthinking it.
It's just wrestling.
Fair enough.
It's just wrestling. But overall, Money in the Bank. Again, this is the toughest belt grade probably I've ever had to give a... Because Money in the Bank was just the 51 to 49% over liking it versus not liking it. Okay? So putting that into totality, the night in itself, again, you know what? I'm going to give this a 3.5. Damn it, that's a little too low still. 3.5 out of 5 Shawn Michaels European Championships. Here's why.
Ooh, that's a,
here's
that's
why I give it that great and that belt exactly. At that time, it had to get over. Who else to get it over but somebody who's already the champion that can get it over, right? You're introducing a new belt. You're introducing a new concept. Well, not a new concept, but this is the concept we're moving forward with in this pandemic is this cinematic universe, which I don't think is ever going to leave. I don't think we're going to get another Money in the Bank like this if they can help it. But some matches moving forward, Firefly Houses, Undertaker kind of stuff, you're going to see this, in my opinion. Okay, so it was pretty good. And that European title had to get over. It had to show people it was there. They're here. May not like it, but this is what's there. 3.5 out of 5 European championships. Chris?
Well played, sir. I'm going to go a little more throwback than that, and I'm going to give the Money in the Bank pay-per-view 3 out of 5 WCW Prince Iaukea TV title reigns.
That's now, huh? That's horrible.
Now, this is no.
I hate it. Hold on. The prince that was the simple, or the prince Iaukea at first when he was like the Jungle Boy.
No, like Pineapple Head Prince Iaukea, not okay. The artist okay. Formerly known as okay. Prince Iaukea. Pineapple Head. Okay. Yeah. And the reason I give it that is okay. Number one. It wasn't nothing was horribly offensive. Mm-hmm. It didn't necessarily make me moist. Nothing on this show necessarily made me moist, but I appreciate that they're trying something different. And it was all right.
Oh, that Moy Provich. Only white men can make me moist. Shout out to Eddie Murphy, man, the clumps. Listen, yo, so we got, that's our grade. It's what it is. I don't think, you know, wrestling fans that want to poop on this, go right ahead. I will thumbs up your poop emoji. Fans that want to over-glorify it, man, for at least if you give me the reasons why I agree it was good, hey, I'll give you a thumbs up too. I'm not here a nay for this, but if I had to be a nay or a yay, I'm yaying the Money in the Bank. It was entertaining. I'm sorry. The things that stood out to me, the Vince McMahon's office, The Undertaker and AJ Styles, the food fight scene, all the one fan, the food fight, the fact that Shayna Baszler was about to put Rey Mysterio to sleep, okay? Paul Heyman sitting there getting his food interrupted. The fact that I always tell you guys when I'm watching wrestling through my children's eyes, it's completely different. And the fact that they sat here and loved it, and I'm sitting here looking at them like, and they're like, this match is great. I was like, y'all know they're not wrestling, right? They're just kicking each other, right? They're like, yeah, I know, right? And I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? That's what it was. I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, it was a pretty good night overall. Not worth me missing 15 minutes of The Last Dance, but hey, I caught it later. So tonight, though, we do got Raw. Big star-studded Monday Night Raw. I'm looking forward to it. So, see what happens from there and be back next Monday. Chris, anything you want to say before we get out of here, my friend?
I just want to throw a shout out to the women, because during this whole pandemic, from the Kabuki Warriors to the Sasha and Bayley thing to Zelina Vega's ascension, the women have been holding it down like an anvil on a seesaw. So I got to give the ladies props, for real. For real, for real.
Listen. Shout out to the ladies. Listen, guys and girls out there listening, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and Chris Platt Show. Tomorrow night, make sure you check out the new Belt Kings Radio Presents Champions. It's a show that's just dedicated to the belts you see behind me on the wall. Okay? Talking about them, the craftsmanships about them, who wore them best, who was the best to have them, who's the Mount Rushmore of those set titles. We started off with Big Goldie, myself, My Kicks Are My Fix. That's Corey Saunders from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. Y'all know him. He's the belt emperor out there. Started with him talking about Big Gold and what that belt meant and our Mount Rushmore of that belt. Tomorrow we give you episode 2, Wing Eagled. I can't wait to talk about this program. This is probably one of the best podcasts I've ever been a part of. 10 years here now doing this on BDSR Networks. And I'll tell you this much. I have done a lot of podcasting before podcasting became the thing that your mother's auntie, sister, whose grandmother, who don't even know how to have a smartphone, is doing a podcast show has been doing it. So, hey, trust me when I tell you, this is a good show for you. No fluff, nothing. Just straight, honest wrestling fans talking about the championships we love the most. So, again, make sure you go follow us on all our social medias, guys. We're going to get up out of here Monday. Night Raw is tonight, and I cannot wait for this show. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna have that handshake got me going, Chris. I cannot wait. Listen, guys, we're gonna get up out of here. So do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me, and don't love God. We out of here, y'all.